Please keep your Bibles open to John chapter 10, which is our text for this evening. And the title of my sermon tonight is, God wants us to live and not die. God wants us to live and not die. Actually, these were the words of our beloved pastor, Reverend Dr. Timothy Toole. Recently, he shared with me, during his time of physical illness and suffering, the Lord taught him a precious lesson, that the Lord wants us to live and not die. The Lord desires, the Lord has created us to live and not die. Is this true? Indeed, this is true. And this is supported by the words of the Lord Himself in the Holy Scriptures in John chapter 10 and verse 10. Here the Lord says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And so how is life to you? Is life abundant or miserable? How may we find life? How can we have abundant life that Jesus has promised us here? In this world, we only see death, don't we? In today's papers, we read of death. In the news, death is reported. But we want to find life. How can we have life? And here in John chapter 10, the Lord tells us how we might have life, how we can find life. And we will find true life if we do these three things. Firstly, the Lord tells us that if we want to have life, we can only find life by following the good shepherd and not the hireling. Follow the good shepherd. If you follow the good shepherd, you will find life. In verse 11, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Our Lord is indeed a wonderful and a good shepherd because he died for our sins. He died for our sins at a time when we were his enemies. When we do not deserve his goodness at all, he being the good shepherd, gave his life for us who are sinful, who are rebellious, who are against him. And Romans 5, 6 to 10 tells us, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for good men some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. The Lord's death has brought to us life. And Jesus not only saved us by his death, he also saved us by his life. And recently we commemorated Christmas. Christmas is a day of life, for God became man, God with us. God came to live with us, conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. And then he lived a sinless life on earth, keeping the law perfectly, fulfilling all righteousness, so that he might earn the righteousness that we need to enter into the very presence of God. And since the penalty of sin is death, it was not enough for Jesus to live for us. He must die to pay the penalty. He died for you and for me on the cross, shedding his precious blood. And then he was buried. On the third day, he rose again from the grave according to the scriptures, and he is alive today. He is the life giver. He has saved us by his life, by his death, and by his life again. And that was what Jesus said in verses 17 to 18. Jesus said here, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." And Jesus has the power over life and death. And he has the power to lay down his life. And he has the power to raise it up again, because he is God himself. And that's why we follow him. That's why he is the good shepherd. Have we followed the good shepherd? Or have we followed a hireling? A false shepherd? What is a hireling? Well, Jesus describes him in verses 12 and 13. In verses 12 and 13, Jesus says here, "But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep." In other words, a hireling is an opportunist. He is someone who is only interested in himself. He only protects himself. He only promotes himself. That is the hireling. He is self-seeking and self-promoting. And the hireling preaches for pay. The hireling preaches for power. He preaches for position. He preaches for popularity. That is the hireling. More pay, more preach, right? Less pay, less preach. No pay, no preach. More prestige, more preach. Less prestige, less preach. No prestige, no preach. I preach in order to gain something for myself. That is the hireling. He is an opportunist. But the Apostle Paul, who is a true under-shepherd of the good shepherd, warned the believers, and he told the church in those days, "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ." The hireling is an enemy of the cross of Christ. Because the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep, but the hireling, no, he only seeks to save his own life, his own skin. When the wolf comes, when danger comes, he flees. And he's an enemy of the cross of Christ, whose end, Paul says, is destruction. Whose God is their belly. Whose God is their belly. And Calvin adds, whose religion is their kitchen. Whose glory is in their shame. Who mind earthly things. We thank God that we are following the good shepherd, our Lord Jesus Christ. Why do we come to church? Why are you here tonight? You know, some people go to church for all kinds of reasons, but for all the wrong reasons. They go to church because they want to be entertained. They want their flesh to be excited. They go to church because they think that by going to church, they can find luck and prosperity. They come to church because they want to find a boyfriend or a girlfriend. They come to church because they want to seek potential customers or clients for their business. There are all kinds of reasons that people come to church. Why do you go to church? Why are you here in church this evening or every Sunday? I pray it may be because, and this is your only reason, because of Jesus. Because I want to follow my good shepherd. Because I come to seek him. And I can find Jesus in this church. And the pastors and the elders and those who are leading in this church always point to Jesus Christ and to his words. That's why I'm here. And that's the only reason I want to follow him. He is the good shepherd. And we thank God that we have the good shepherd in our Lord Jesus Christ. And the good shepherd has also appointed under shepherds. Make sure that we follow the right under shepherd, the right pastor. Why is there a True Life Bible Presbyterian Church today? Have we followed a good shepherd or a hireling? I'm thankful that we have a faithful pastor in Pastor Timothy Toh. And you know his life, don't you? And he has suffered much in the work of the Lord. And because he is a good pastor who follows the good shepherd, who cares not for pay or power or popularity or prestige, but because he wants to glorify the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to take an uncompromising stand on the forever infallible and inerrant word of God, 100% inspired, 100% preserved, perfect without any mistake, taking the step of faith. He founded this church, not in his young age, but in his old age. And he did so because he wants to follow our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and what he says in his word. Is it wrong to follow a man? We have followed him and come into this church. Is it wrong to follow a man? It is not wrong to follow a man. Paul himself said, "Be followers of me as what? As I follow the Lord Jesus Christ." And so we follow our good and faithful pastor because he follows the Lord and obeys his words. And that is all. That is all. And now that we are in True Life, have we not found life indeed? God says he will bless us with life. And life more abundantly. Have you tasted of the goodness of the Lord and abundant life as you worship the Lord and serve him in True Life BP Church? I believe many of us, if not all of us, have experienced the goodness of the Lord as we worship him here. We have experienced God's grace, God's mercies, and God's peace. And we can truly worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, out of a pure heart, with a clear conscience, not doubting at all our Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Scriptures which he has given to us and preserved for us, which we have in our hands today. So if we want to have life, dear friends, make sure you follow the good shepherd and not the hireling. And second point, from our Lord here is this. If we want to find life, yes, we follow the Good Shepherd. And not only follow the Good Shepherd, we must enter in by the door of the sheep. We will find life when we enter in by the door of the sheep. And Jesus said in verses 8 and 9, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Don't go in by any door, but this one door, the Lord Jesus Christ." And Jesus is not only our good shepherd, He is the door of the sheep. "By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture." And let me just say this. This door is a narrow door. Right? And this narrow door leads into a very narrow way. Now, those of us who have been at prayer meeting would have memorized which verse? Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Do you remember that verse? "Enter ye in at the straight gate." The straight gate. The word "straight" means narrow. Why? Why did the Lord command us to enter in by the straight or the narrow gate? Two reasons. The first reason is because wide is the gate and broad is the way which leadeth to destruction. And many there be that go in thereat. Many will go into the broad way. And the broad way where many are found in leads to death, leads to destruction. The second reason, because straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it. So the question we want to ask ourselves, are we walking in the broad way or in the narrow way? I pray that we are those who are the few, who do not just join the crowd, but we are the few that walk in the narrow way, and the narrow way is that which leads to life. And I'm glad that we are here this evening, just before midnight, just before the year ends, to seek the Lord. And you are here to worship Him. You are walking in the narrow way. But if you are in Orchard Road, that is the broad way. Whole lot of people are there. How many thousands? I don't know. But you have sought to seek the Lord the close of this year. And I believe as you seek to honor the Lord in this way, He has a special blessing for you tonight. And basically we are telling the Lord, "Lord, we need you. Yes, the year is coming to a close. The new year is coming. What can we expect during the new year? So many uncertainties, isn't it? And sometimes we get worried. We are anxious. What will the year 2007 be like? Well, the reports are given that it will be a time of prosperity. Boom! But then this morning we are told, not boom, but doom. Yes, that is true. The midnight hour is going to strike. The world is not getting better and better. It will get from bad to worse. And the Lord will come, and the Lord will come to judge. The world is filled with sin and evil and iniquity. And many are walking in that broad way of wickedness, evil and iniquity. May we be found in the narrow way that leads to life. Why is the way narrow? Why? Why is the door a straight one, a narrow one, and the way a narrow one? It is because there is only one way to heaven. See, not many ways, only one way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father, but only by me. He is the only living and true way. And if we walk by this way, there is life, because Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Shall never die. And that's why Jesus said, You follow the good shepherd, you follow me, you will have life and have life more abundantly. Not only life now, but life forevermore. After death, there is life. And this life will go on and on and on without end. With him in paradise, with him in heaven. And that's why we have abundant life in the good shepherd. And it's only one way. You know, last Christmas, we went for caroling. And one of the homes we visited was filled with a whole lot of darkness. Idols practically everywhere. At every wall, at every turn, you see an idol. You have the god of prosperity in one corner. And then on another side, you have Guan Yin, the goddess of mercy. Then you have the god of laughter. All the different Chinese gods in this home, filled with darkness. And we thank God that we had the opportunity to bring the good news of Christmas, caroling in this home. And so we went in. And there was this elderly couple, the parents of one of our members. They still do not know the Lord, you see. And so we brought in the gospel light into this very, very dark home. And when the carols were sung, well, they were very delighted. They welcomed us in. And then when they saw a lot of our young people, our children also in the group singing, they were very happy. Because they thought, well, the children, the young people, is a symbol of life. They have brought life into my house. And with all our singing, with all the noise, well, noise is equated with luck and with prosperity. Yes, we can make more noise. And after we sang, and they were very happy with our singing, but after the singing, there was the preaching, the sermon. And when the sermon was preached, Jesus is the only way. We believe on him, we'll go to heaven. We don't believe, we go to hell. Not many ways, but only one way. It becomes very narrow. And they became very uncomfortable. I think they could not wait for us to leave. Because as soon as the preaching finished, they say, thank you very much, thank you very much. Because narrow is the way, few there be that find it. You want to have life, you must forsake all and follow only one. Right? Some people are quite happy. Yes, Jesus is good. But all my other gods are also good. The more the merrier, you see. Broad is the way. But you have this broad way, even though you include Jesus in it, it will lead to destruction. But only Jesus saves. It's not just Jesus saves. Only Jesus saves. It's a very narrow message that we have. It's a very narrow way. Not easy to find. Can be found, but not easy. Because it requires us to forsake all. See, deny self. Take up our own cross and follow him. And only him. While we pray for this elderly couple, I'm glad that they felt uncomfortable when the gospel was given, because it means that the gospel was purely and faithfully preached. That's why they felt uncomfortable. A narrow message was given, not a broad, compromising, adulterated message. And we pray that the gospel might bring light and that the Holy Spirit will convict them of their sin and of their need of a Savior, and Jesus, the only Savior. They will come to believe and be saved. Yes, salvation, the way of salvation, is a very narrow one. And for us who are believers, The broad way is the way of the world. Are we a friend of the world? If we befriend the world, we commit adultery against the Lord. It's a narrow way because we must forsake the world. We must be separated from the world. Jesus said, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me. I am the only living and true God." And Jesus also said, if we befriend the world and we make the world our God, it is adultery. And in James 4 verse 4, we are told, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God." We cannot have it both ways. Be a friend of God and at the same time a friend of the world. We cannot serve God and mammon. Either one or the other. The world is very broad, but the cross is very narrow. And so 1 John chapter 2, 15 to 17, John tells us, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth. He will live forever." So what is the world doing now? Well, the world is parting away in town, is it not? There's a whole lot of drinking, whole lot of merrymaking, whole lot of fornication tonight. We will not want to be part of it. Do you desire to be part of the crowd? Broad is the way, many are there. Let us be found a narrow way. And it's very sad that in the world today, few are found in church worshipping the Lord at the closing hours of the year. Few. But I'm glad that we are in the few, among the few. Because being among the few, we are people of life. People who know the truth. People who know the Lord. Know what life truly means, you see. I'm glad that you are here tonight. You seek to be found in the narrow way in God's house by worshiping Him. The third thing that we learn from here, third thing we must do if we want to find life and have life is this. Right? The first thing is to follow the good shepherd. Second is to enter in by the door of the sheep. And the third thing we must do if we want to find life and life more abundantly is to hear the voice of the shepherd. Hear the voice of the shepherd. Don't hear and don't listen to the voices of men. There are many voices in the world and they all lead to damnation. But there's only one true voice, and that is the voice of God, the Word of God itself. And John chapter 10 verse 4 to 5 we read, "And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And the stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." And then in verse 27 we read, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." And they follow me. You know, if you are a true believer, you will be able to hear and to know the Savior's voice. You will be able to recognize His voice because you have the Holy Spirit indwelling within you. And if you are able to discern the voice of the Lord and recognize it, good for you. You see, this is one evidence that you are a child of God. If you are able to identify and recognize and discern His voice. Many voices in this world shouting down the voice of God. In the midst of all the voices, are you able to discern the true voice? The voice of your shepherd, and then you follow that voice. When I was a young boy, I kept a minor bird, and I raised it from the time it was a chick, baby minor. I will feed it, I will care for it, and then I will whistle to it. Then when it grew up, it could only recognize my whistle. You can whistle to the bird, it will not fly to you. But when I whistle, it will fly to me. It recognizes my voice. Are we like this as God's sheep? Are we able to recognize God's voice? When the Lord calls, we follow. How do we know? How can we discern the truth and the voice of God? Well, if we have the Holy Spirit, we will be able. For the Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And Jesus said in John 14:15-17, if ye love me, keep my commandments. You see, if you are a sheep and you belong to the Lord, you will have the Spirit and you will be able to discern His voice. And when you hear it, you will obey it. And if you love the Lord, you will keep His commandments. And the Lord says, I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, which the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. He shall guide us into all truth, the Lord says. And then John, in 1 John 2:20-27, tells us, but ye have an unction, an anointing from the Holy One, and ye know all things, but the anointing which ye have received of Him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in Him. And John went on to say, ye are of God, little children. You belong to Him, and you have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world. And the world heareth them, but we do not hear the world. We hear only our good shepherd and His voice. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. Heareth us who preach to you the truth. And he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And so how can we discern truth from error? How can we ever tell and recognize the voice of God? Well, we must be born again. And not only born again, make sure that we are filled with the Word of God. The Word of God is the voice of God. The Bible is none other than the voice of Him that sitteth upon the throne. Every book of it, every chapter of it, every verse of it, every word of it, every syllable of it, every letter of it is the direct utterance of the Most High. So how can you tell and hear and identify and recognize the voice of God? The more you know the Scriptures, the more you will be in tune to His voice. And if a stranger's voice comes, you will be able to tell, this is not my Savior. Not my shepherd. It's a hireling, a false shepherd, a false teacher. I will follow only the good shepherd. And I can tell His voice. Because His voice is a truthful voice that comes from what? His word. Do you know His word? Do you know His voice? I'm glad that many of us here take God's word seriously. And you make it a point. Despite all your busyness, tiredness, yet you make it a point, Lord, I want to know you. I want to know your word. And so you come for Sunday school. You wake up early in the morning, you come for Sunday school before the service. You go for fellowship meetings where the word of God is being taught. And then many of you also attend the night classes in the Far Eastern Bible College. Despite a hard day's work, you make it a point to come. So that you might know more and more the Word of God and be able to discern the voice of God. But I'm said that there are those, and I heard that there are parents who have advised their children not to attend the night classes in the Far Eastern Bible College because you have so much work to do already, so much homework, so much studies, and then so much work to do. Why you want to go to FEBC for night classes? Better pay attention to your schoolwork. I think that is a very, very sorry and a bad advice. I pray none of us who are parents here advise our children like this. Our children who desire to study God's Word, and if they want to come to study in the college, night classes, and even take credit for it, take the exams, we should give them our fullest support. And then also, go with them and study. But we have parents who try to stop their children from going. Please be able to discern the voice of the Savior, not the voice of strangers. The voice of our Savior is the voice of life. The voice of strangers is the voice of death. Yes, the Lord wants us to live and not die. And if we want to live, let us observe these three things. Let us follow the good shepherd and not the hireling. Let us go by the narrow way and not the broad way. And let us obey the voice of our Savior and not the voice of strangers. Do you know the Lord? Are you able to hear His voice? Are you walking in this way? Do you belong to Jesus? If you belong to Jesus, then you will follow the Good Shepherd. You are entering by the straight gate and you're walking by the narrow way, and it will lead you to life.